Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We hope you're having a good week, and we are in James, the last verse of chapter 4, to complete, Lord willing, our study for this week in James 5. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Taken you many times to Matthew, the 25th chapter. These are not the only ideas in mind by this verse, but these certainly are some of them. And there are eternal consequences. I truly believe with the parable of the talents and with what is taught here in Matthew 25 toward the end of the chapter that we must understand the teaching that the Bible does not teach by explicit statements only. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Do you realize how large the volumes would be? And yes, I said volumes. That would comprise the New Testament and the entire Bible if God's Word was just based on thou shalt and thou shalt not. Here's something that we need to learn from. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In Matthew the 25th chapter, what was specifically mentioned there was someone was hungry and sick and naked and in prison, and needed things, not just wants, but needs. And if you shut up the bowels of compassion and you have the ability to help, you're failing in regard. And I'm failing if I do that in regard to the responsibility that God teaches us in Matthew the 25th chapter and in the story of the Good Samaritan. All right? And in the parable of the talents, that we are to bring forth fruit. It's wrong, just take the talent and bury it, which is a value of money. Talent is also your capability or a capability. Someone might have a talent to sing. Another person may have a talent. But that the parable of the talents is talking about people were given monetary talents according to their abilities. And they're not all the same for everybody. Everybody doesn't have the same abilities. But we have the same Word of God. And God wants the rich to do more benevolence monetarily with regard to volume than a poor person would. Just by the sheer fact they have more resources from which to share. And so on and so forth. In chapter 5, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mow your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury and have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, and he does not resist you. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know, get this now, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. James 5, the last chapter in this wonderful book in the New Testament. Inspired of God, beneficial for us all, so short and yet so power-packed with information that we could start back over next week and go back over the same verses and emphasize even more points than we were able to get to this week. We need to be careful if we let our riches corrupt us. How hard it is, Jesus said, for they who trust or have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Abraham was rich. Seems that he could handle it. Not sure about Lot, but Lot got out of Sodom. He certainly took what looked to be the most pleasant of the land when they were both being blessed by God, and their offspring of their cattle and their herds, maybe sheep, were growing exponentially as the Lord blessed them. Abraham kindly said, "Hey, choose your way. I'll go the other way." He let Lot pick. Lot had to get out of town, didn't he? When he preached righteousness and the people were not willing to submit to the will of God in Sodom, and he had to get out with his family. But his wife looked back, violating the requirement of God, and that which is fair took place. That which justice demands, because God, in his characteristics, in his makeup, is not going to be unfair or unjust. He'll be merciful. But when he lays down the law, we need to realize he says what he means, and he means what he says. We can be forgiven, but at the same time, we can also be punished. Where do you stand, and where do I stand with regard to patience? Patience is a very needed characteristic, virtue, if you will. We look over just two books, 1 Peter, and we move on over to 2 Peter. We're to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brother kindness, and brotherly kindness love. Don't you think in perseverance, I have a footnote, that the word patience is involved in that word, perseverance? Even if not from the 2 Peter chapter 1 passage, it's found right here in James 5. Yes, we are a people of remote controls and fast food and drive-thrus. And with the advent of the COVID-19, some people's patience was tried even more because the in-person dining was restricted and in some cases done away at different times for different amounts of time, and that meant the lines drew longer and the wait time was increased. To do what might have taken 5 minutes or less in some cases at lunch became a lot more, a lot more time. Did we lose patience? We shouldn't. We should be understanding. We should be thankful that someone else is waiting on us in our country, and we tell them through this little microphone or speaker, two-way speaker device, what we want, and they're going to try their best, we hope, to get it right, and then we're going to pay them the money, and they've done that work, and they're serving us. Yes, we pay for that service, but we need to have patience with those who are working. My hat goes off to those who deal with long lines, especially at the lunch crowd or the high traffic times. I would find it very difficult to look up and see a line of 20-odd people with their hands on their hips and maybe their eyes on their devices with one hand out on the device and fortunate they have something to occupy their time while they wait until I can wait on these people and they could get toward the front of the line for their order to be filled. We need to realize that patience is important, yea, essential in the life of a Christian. And we have this idea of patience in Elijah and patience in Job. Yes, his perseverance, the New King James says. The synonym is the patience. And you've all heard of we need to have the patience of Job. It's a standard by which is acceptable in the sight of God. Job wasn't perfect, but that's an acceptable example of patience. And Elijah, in the case cited, is an acceptable example. So God does not require of us anything that's too hard. Oh, it may be hard. Oh, I just don't have patience. I can't do it. Yes, you can. God would not require anything of you that you can't do. But it might be harder for some than others. I admire those that are well established in their patience. We need to be careful with regard to our tongue. It's already been mentioned in chapter 3. We are not to swear by any oath. I believe that the word that is used in the Koine Greek concerning swearing, and I continue to study this matter, inheres an oath in the word swear as used in the New Testament. Oh, Mark, I can go to a modern-day dictionary, an English dictionary, and differ with you on that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word as it was used in the Greek New Testament, Koine Greek, that helps us if we will work on learning what words mean. And yes, we can affirm because that's letting our yes be yes and no be no. But if you affirm with an oath, that's swearing. Look up the definition of swearing. You may just think that I was inconsistent in that. If you affirm with an oath, you're swearing. But that means you can affirm without an oath. That's what I'm talking about, which is right. And affirming with an oath is swearing. And swearing inheres an oath. Let's don't be involved in that. And is our yes, yes, and our no, no? The power of prayer with regard to praying for the sick. We are required, yea, mandated by God to do this. We are required by God to confess our trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that we might be forgiven of our sins. So we have physical sickness and we have spiritual sickness that we can help with regard to prayer. We need to repent, confess, and pray as widely as the sin is committed. Publicly, if be so, or privately, if be so. And we need to realize the power of prayer. And Elijah is mentioned again as a good example of prayer. Finally, in these last two verses of this wonderful little book, we find out that someone who has received the truth, obeyed the truth, and become a Christian can err from the truth and be in a lost state, a condition that will end up in spiritual death, the second death that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, and also in chapter 21, verse 8. Our sins can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we must repent, confess, and pray as erring Christians in order to receive the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for listening. Have a pleasant weekend.